Father God, every once in a while, your word hands down something that's so brazen, that's so obvious, that's so powerful, and yet in our finite mind, so confusing. So we call upon you, Holy Spirit, to make sense. We call upon you, Holy Spirit, to set in stone whatever is still wet cement in our hearts. God, set it in stone. Set that cement now, that our hearts would be fleshy hearts. Not fleshly, fleshy, soft and pliable in your hands. You are the potter and we are the clay. Have your way in us tonight. And for anybody here that would reject the message, God, even now, go before and bring to remembrance the things that you've done, the promises that have been made. We need you to do these things, God. My words mean nothing, and your words are everything. In Christ Jesus, amen. Hey, guys, tonight's one of the craziest stories in the entire Bible. Now, I know you've heard me say that a lot, but I really mean this is one of the craziest stories in the entire Bible. And what I love it is when I say that, here's what happens. The immediate thing is when you first start to hear this story, you think to myself, wow, this is like really crazy story. But what's really crazy is this stuff really went down. I mean, like, this really went down. This really happened. And you can lose that pliability in your heart. You can lose that. You start to hear it, and especially when it goes into the supernatural stuff. You know, Sunday, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and it's like, wow, that's heavy stuff, man. Yeah, you're right. But listen to me. I don't like Bibles that have red letters in them. Because although I respect the idea that Bibles have red letters, the whole thing should be red letters. It's the Word of God. You know, it's not like this you can listen to a lot, but this you don't have to listen to so much. If there was like a green letter, this would be crazy green. Keep that in mind. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. Please give me your attention. The first thing that happens is you feel like you came in the middle of a movie, rightly so, you did. The first sentence in the second chapter of the book of 2 Kings is absolutely insane. There is nothing like it anywhere in Scripture except in the New Testament. I will read this to you again. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Excuse me? No. That's not the way it works. Prophets die. They get killed. They get martyred. Some even die of old age. Not many, but some of them. Nobody goes up to heaven in a whirlwind, especially in the Old Testament. Now, there was this guy in the book of Genesis named Enoch. And right smack dab in the middle of a bunch of stuff, it says, Enoch walked with the Lord and then was taken up, then was no more. Crazy. And then it leaves. And you just keep reading through these names and stories, and it could be quite confusing because then it's gone. Now, all of a sudden, this thing happens. Right here in the book of 2 Kings, when all this death and murder, all these things that are going on here, the nation of Israel spiraling out of control, the tribes of Judah wasting away, seemingly the promises of God have failed. And then all of a sudden, the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. And Elijah went with Elisha. Now, if you guys are new to our Bible study on Wednesday, you see the occurrence of two prophets. The main prophet, Elijah, he had a helper. He had a friend. He had somebody he was pouring his life into named Elisha. Now, people that are not familiar with Scripture, they always think these are the same two people. But there is Elijah, J-A, and there's Elisha, S-H-A. He tells Elisha, stay here, I have to go on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Please give me your attention. Apparently, Elisha was one of those guys that didn't stop.
There's a man in the Bible named Joses, J-O-S-E-S. As soon as the apostles found out what he was about, they changed his name immediately to Barnabas. They called him the son of encouragement. Forget about that Joses name. From now on, your name is the son of encouragement. There was in Scripture a man named Paul. Paul had a young man that followed him. His name was Timothy. Excellent. All through Scripture, you will see that this fellowship was made by fellowship, where young men attached themselves to older men in the faith and said, "Where you go, I go. Your people are my people. Where you live, I live. Where you die, I die." The Lord Jesus was surrounded by these. The Lord had his one-on-ones, he had his small groups, and then he had his multitudes. This is not mutually exclusive for men. This is a woman thing also. However, it seems to bear out more with men. And I don't know why. I find that to be a bit on the sadder side. Probably because women have to attach themselves to their husbands, and then their friends always seem left behind. But nonetheless, in the church, let's make a commitment that that should not be so. You must reckon yourself a Paul. You must find yourself a Timothy. You must reckon yourself a Timothy, and you must find yourself a Paul. You must find somebody to attach yourself to. And no matter what a jerk they are, no matter if they hurt your feelings, he didn't call me back and I texted him, none of it should matter. You know what? You stay here, I'm going there. No. Where you go, I go. I shall not leave your side. One of the hardest things for you is to see humanity in your pastors. You've heard me say this before, but people prefer their pastors plastic, pathetic, and perfect. Sorry, not if you come to church here. What you see is the humanity. I work a job. I have a wife and kids. They're here. I have my problems. And you don't, some of you guys can't handle that. You heard me say something or do something. I heard something. I can't believe Ryan would do that. Ryan would say that. Why? Have you heard that I slept with anybody's wife? Only my own. Not near enough. Have you heard? I can't even believe you just said that. That's so disgusting. Your in-laws are here. Have you heard that I stole anybody's money? You won't hear it because I don't. Have you heard that I've given anybody advice about their life that did not come from Scripture? You won't hear it. Because it doesn't happen. Anything else you hear might be true. For my brothers that are close to me, that have attached themselves to me, know this. I too have attached myself to men. Ken Graves, I've attached myself to him. And just like Elijah, sometimes months go by, I won't talk to him. And I'll call him and I'll text him. I'll say something to him and he'll get mad at me and he'll say something. I don't care. Where you go, I go. I don't see him as much as I'd like to, but I do have a local pastor, Jim Coy. And Jim Coy's been in ministry for some 40 years. And he can be an old crotchety son of a gun. He's got 9 grandchildren and another one. And I don't care. I don't let my feelings get hurt because he didn't call me back for a couple of weeks. I call him up and I say, "Man, this crazy thing happened. You want to tell me what to do?" "I'm busy." No. I'll drive up to you. Part of the secret to my success, as it were. Because so often men want to find out what it is that I did that got me. How did you overcome this? How did you overcome that? How did you get to that place? I don't quit. We have a saying in jiu-jitsu. You know what the difference between a white belt and a black belt is? White belt never quit. A black belt is just a white belt that never quit. I ain't quitting. I ain't doing it. There's too much at stake at this point in my life. Guys, I was talking to one of my other brothers the other day, and I told him, see, perhaps you don't realize this. I don't have some of the luxuries that some others have. I can't mess up. Not once. Not one drink, not one smoke, not one porno, not one fight, not one cheat. Zero. I have no space in my life. None. And I embrace it with everything that is in me. I take it and I hurl it upon my shoulders and I say, may I never give the chance of the devil to laugh at me. May I never give the enemies of God a chance to blaspheme. May the people who've attached themselves to me never go, but you told me. May the people I've attached myself never look at me and go, you did what? Oh. Ever had a conversation with Ken Graves? He growls he like a bear when he's upset. He goes, oh. He scratches his head and goes, oh. Just once, I want to do that. Elisha said, ain't happening. And watch what happens to Elisha because of this. Oh, people might have laughed at him. His friends might have. Listen, Elijah is a pretty wealthy dude. Elisha. He had yokes of oxen. He had servants. He comes from a wealthy family. And here is this hairy, walking around in a overcoat, belt, leather belt around his waist, beard, not near as good as Alex's, but I'm sure it was good. And he attached himself. And all his friends looked at him and said, look at this guy. What's he doing? You got all things going on. Your friends might, oh, you go to that church? Oh, I'm sorry. I go to church where there's a lot more people. The Spirit is really there. You follow that dude, you know what people say about him. That could be what he heard all the time. Elijah, that's who you follow, Elijah. Do you know what Ahab said? King Ahab, he said that Elijah this, Elijah that, Elijah this, that. But something stuck in his spirit. And he said, no. Maybe it's because we have this similar name. That's what God did. God gave us both the same name. He's Elijah, I'm Elisha. I'm sticking by his side. Verse 3, now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Shh, don't. Now, I don't know the whole trip going on here, and you can't find nothing in the Bible that says why this happened. Apparently, it's like supposed to be common knowledge among all the prophets. They had these camps. They had these ministry places where back then, it was actually a treasured thing. Your son wanted to be in ministry. Oh, praise the Lord. You'd drop him off and he'd be at this camp and he'd learn the things of the Lord and they'd pray and they'd study scripture and all these things would happen. And apparently, there was this one of these schools of ministry there. Now, the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel, they came out to Elijah and they said, hey, we heard that today's the day Elijah, he goes up to heaven and he keeps trying to lose me. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. I don't even know. Why is he saying that? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe you think of something else. And I spent a lot of time meditating on it. Read this story hundreds of times. I love it. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. There's a story in the Bible. The Lord Jesus is walking with his apostles and his disciples, and a woman comes up behind him and says to him, Son of David, have mercy on us. Something to the effect of, can you come and heal me or something like that? And he turns around, he says, I'm sorry. We don't give what is holy to dogs, basically, he says. And she doesn't go, the heck with you then, you hurt my feelings. And she doesn't do that. She doesn't get offended, nothing. She says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I could imagine the look on our Savior's face. It had to be the same look when he says to the centurion, hey, let me go and heal your servant. And the centurion says, you don't even gotta. I'm a man of authority. You say the word go, men go. You say the word come, men come. Just say the word. That look, that verse, I have not even found so much faith in all Israel. Here, Gentile. Same, it's got to be the same thing. I can imagine Elijah going, you stay here, I'm going to Jericho. Elisha says, ain't going to happen. Can't shake this dude, man. Blowing up my phone, it's crazy. Text me every day. Text me this crazy verse. Where did I leave off? Six? Five. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Apparently this is I don't know if they got like a broadcast email or something like that. I don't know what's going on. But apparently all the prophets knew, like, this was Elijah's day. So he said to him, yes, I know. Shh. I don't know where Elijah was in proximity. Like, there they are, and here are the sons of the prophet, and they see Elijah. Hey, what's up, baby? What's up? What's up? And he says to him, hey, you know that they're taking Elijah up to... You got to see, that's the way it's going down, right? Because he keeps repeating the same mantra. That word for keep silent there isn't like hold your peace. It's like, shut up. Rebuke. Verse 6, then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. Why would he send him to a river? But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance. And while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now, so they're leaving, and apparently all these prophets are like, I'm telling you it's going down any second. All 50 of them come out, and they're like, can you see Elijah and Elijah walking? And they turn around. We're just doing prophet stuff. Sorry. You got to see this go down, guys. I mean, why is he describing it like this? There's 50 guys, and they stood, and they watched him. And there's Elijah, and there's Elijah, and they're walking, and they stop, and they turn around. And hey. Just looking. And 50 men of the sons went on. 50 men, 8 distance, looked, stood. Now Elijah, verse 8, took his mantle. You guys know what a mantle is? A mantle is like a cape. It's like this big, thick cape that they wore, and it had a cape. And then usually they had a hood. And men who traveled in the desert, they had this dark hood because it would reflect the light. And then when they put the cape over, they would walk in the rain, the sandstorm would blow against it and blow off. So he had this cape, this mantle, that's what they called it. He rolled it up and he struck the water and it was divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now, some people think that was only like a Moses thing, but 3 or 4 times in scripture, men had struck water or stepped into water and it rose up like a heap, as it says. So he goes to the Jordan. He goes, well, we're at the Jordan. Now what? The Lord called me here. Elijah was like, okay. Elijah's like, I'm not going back. I'm waving to the 50. Hi, guys. How are you? Well, I'm just going to... He hits the water with his mantle, and the water rises up, and they go past on dry ground. Verse 9, and so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. Oh, you knew that I knew that. Oh, I didn't know you knew that I knew. That's why I kept telling everybody to be quiet, but I guess apparently you knew that I knew. So while we're talking about it, you know what I'd really like? A double portion of your spirit to be upon me. Wow. Wow. Now, Elijah was a pretty righteous dude. He was pretty bold. And in Scripture alone, he did some pretty heavy miracles. Here, Elisha says, you know what I want? I want a double portion of your spirit. Give me what you got and more. And I find that very interesting. And that's why you follow a man. You don't follow a man because of who he is. You follow a man because of what God has done through him. I've watched God do amazing things with very unamazing people. I've watched God use men that I was so jealous. I'm like, that guy? I got some guys in my life, I'm telling you, I can't stand them. And I mean this personality-wise. I don't mean spiritual. Like, I hate them. I wish they would die. I mean, guys, I don't like them. Their personality don't match mine. They're either one way or another way. And I watch God use them so mightily, and it's just like this righteous jealousy builds in me. Oh, him. Him? Remember, it was going about 12, 15 years ago, before I spoke in tongues. I just so desired it. I went to church after church. I went to these Pentecostal churches, had people put their finger on my tongue, stick your tongue out. They put my tongue out. Toyota, Honda, Shibata bread. Anything. You know, I so wanted to speak in tongues. And I'd see these people who were so unspiritual speaking in tongues, and I was so jealous. It's like, him! You let him speak in tongues, but me, nothing. I wake up in the morning, bleh. Oh, yeah, I feel it. I can feel it. Bleh. You follow a man because of what God's doing in his life. You don't follow him, and you follow somebody and somebody else don't approve it, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't follow a man because of who he is or what he's done. Man, God's using that dude. That's why I hang out with him. There's a lot of people in my life. There's a couple of guys in my life that God uses so mightily. And whether I like them or dislike is irrelevant. Whether people respect them or don't respect, it doesn't matter. What God is using them for, you attach yourself to them, and where they go, you go. Like I said, it works the same way for ladies. Find a lady who's got something down, man. Especially you ladies that got messed up marriages. You find another lady who's making marriage work, and you go, how do you do it? Because let me let you in on a little secret, and this is completely separate from the Bible study, guys. I just feel very spiritually led to tell you this. Marriage don't happen by accident, okay? It's not like you get two people who get married and, oh man, the luck of the Irish was with them. They get along. Oh man, that's not the way it works. No two sinners I know ever get along, ever. And if you have a marriage and you just happen to get along with your wife by luck, I ain't met you yet. But I will tell you this. You could have a carnal man that has a spiritual woman. And she's a praying woman. And she knows her sufficiency comes from the Lord. And from the outside, it looks like, man, that marriage is all together. And that woman is sitting there saying, I ain't even married to him. I'm married to the Lord. You have a guy that might have a woman who's a little more difficult. And he doesn't mind dying to himself. And I go, man, how do you do it? Death. That's how I do it. Death. Oh, man, you're lucky. No lucky. Guys, there's no lucky. Once you're married, you're married. You didn't marry the wrong person. You didn't marry the right person. You just married the person. You stay with that person and you make it work unless something in Scripture gives you an out. And that don't happen too often. And you can talk, we can talk about that afterward. But back to the Bible study. Again, verse 9. So it was when they had crossed over the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you. I am taken away. And Elijah said, the double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. So apparently, Elijah, and it's like Elijah's playing a game. And here's, guys, this is so important. The spiritual, more mature is going to play games with you sometimes. It looks like a game from the outside, but it's a spiritual game. And you can never follow the pattern of one's life, but be spirit-led. And here's what I mean. Austin is like Elisha. And when he was a young believer, young brother, he attached himself to me, and I'd put him in the darndest. And I'm using that word in a very light way. It should be a much harder word. I'd put him in these situations, these circumstances that he couldn't win. I would tell him to make a choice. I'd tell him to make a decision. No matter what decision he made, it was going to work out terrible. And he just wanted to please me. He's just like, oh, what? This is not fair. You just used to stomp. What is not fair? Stop it. Don't please me. Be spirit-led. Elijah has been playing a game with Elijah. He knew darn well that he knew. Hey, do me a favor. Stay here. Oh, I ain't staying here. Hey, do me a favor. I'm going there. You go here. I'm going to Jordan. We need to take a bath. It's a river. It's not like a city named Jordan. Oh, the Lord's called me to Jordan. What are you going to do? Take a bath? Lord called you to take a bath? I'm going where you go. Stay here, okay? Turn around. And what happens is young brothers, young sisters, I can't believe he asked me to do it. You believe he said that he's going to do it? And you try to do what you think they would do instead of being spirit-led. First, find it in the Word. I'm doing what the Word says. If you can't find it in the Word, it's far better for you to tell the truth and screw up and to lie and think you got away with something. Ooh, say it again. Say it again. It's far better for you to tell the truth and screw up than to lie and think you got away with something. Because you're not supposed to be following a person. You're not supposed to please the person you're following. You're supposed to please the Lord. Husbands and wives, that goes for you also. You're not trying to please your spouse. You're trying to please the Lord. Paul wrote that he who stays unmarried worries about pleasing God. He who's married worries about pleasing their spouse. And there's a really interesting way to apply that to your marriage, not to staying single, but to applying it to marriage. And saying, you know what, I'm going to apply that in my marriage anyway. I'm going to look to please the Lord even in my marriage. Boy, there's a lot of deep stuff in there. However, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked. You see what happened? They continued on and talked. They continued on and talked. It was a matter of communication. It wasn't just a matter of being there. It was a matter of talking. Even for Peter, who stuck his foot in his mouth so many times, he had athlete's breath. That suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, at first you're reading this and you think to yourself in the Bible, well, it's the Bible, you know, it can say this stuff. Like, listen to me. This is insane even for the Bible. What? All of a sudden this chariot comes by, knocks the two of them apart from each other. There he goes. And a chariot of fire, horses of fire, snatches him up and goes, bye. What? You don't see this. This is not like, oh yeah, this is just like when nothing. This is like when nothing, guys. This doesn't happen. The only thing even close is the Lord, you know, when he was ascended, he went up, but he went up in clouds. There's no chariot of fire. This is insane stuff. Now, what some will say, it is the perfect picture of the rapture. This is the first or the second man in history being raptured. A picture of things to come for us. Hang in there. He's coming back. Especially now, you see all the stuff, you got the debates and all this stuff, and all these politicians, man, and they're going to tell you anything to get elected. Anything. Because there's something even better than money. Power. Power. These men can't wait for power. That the whole earth would know their name. President Barack Obama. Forever enshrined as king of the earth. When the chariot comes and it swings low, it's going to pick us up, believer in Christ. And you're not going to have to suffer anymore with your desires, the lust and the pain and the death and the misery that you've suffered. One fell swoop, you get in that chariot and it is over. Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe it? And let's live like it. Then let's live like it. Verse 12, and when Elijah saw it, he freaked out. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Like Elijah's in the thing going, yeah, I know. Like I'm in it, right? Like the thing comes by, knocks the two of them out. Elijah's in it. He goes up and Elisha can't say nothing. He's like, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. And could you just on his way up, can you see Elijah just go? See you soon. And very soon. This is crazy. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. I love that. Oh, yeah. I ain't gonna need these clothes anymore. Took his man. The thing sweeps him up, and as he's going, what point was it on the floor? Did he throw it out of the thing? You know what I mean? I have this picture of like the Santa Claus thing. You know what I mean? It's the Santa Claus, and there's the reindeer, but next to their fire, and I don't know if there's like a. And he gets in the thing, and he starts to go up, and then he just goes. Whoosh, did the thing go to the floor? How did that happen? Or he's just gonna go. Mine? I don't know how it went down, but it had to be cool. I want to see that Blu-ray as soon as I get to heaven. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. This is great. As soon as he picks up that mantle, he's like, you know what I'm doing. Elijah's like, you know what I'm doing, right? He's like, yeah, I got to see this for myself. Boom, and he hits the water with it. It wasn't like even a maybe. You know what I'm doing. I'm trying that water thing. That's too cool. Thank you. Then he took the mantle Elijah had fallen from him and struck the water and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, and Elijah crossed over. And I just, again, last note on that whole, you know, Timothy, Paul thing. He didn't say, Elijah, Elijah. He said, where is the God? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You're not following a man, and you're not following a woman. You're following the Lord God of that woman, of that man. And if you're sure God is doing something in somebody else, you want to see it. You want to experience it, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. When God is doing something in somebody and you follow them and you see what God is doing in them, it strengthens your faith. Now you can go out and have faith to walk out on the water as well. That's how that works. And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. And when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. darn straight. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And let me just tell you why that works that way, God. And I'm sorry I'm going long tonight, but this is so, so important. When I was a young Christian, I wanted to follow my pastor so bad. But I went to a really big church. And I tried to be like I thought he was, not really knowing him, not having a relationship with him. So I kind of tried to dress like him. I kind of tried to act like him. I instead of following the Lord God that was implanted within me, I tried to be something I was not. And after about 7 or 8 years of walking with the Lord, it was extremely frustrating. I felt too much. I sensed nothing. I acted instead of reacted. I know that you guys are going to find this hard to believe, but I became a very indecisive, very womanly person. Just, gee whiz, you know, if I had to talk to her, well, here's the thing, man, you know, you can't, I tell this story often. I had this kid, Danny. Danny was like, he was like my son. He was a few years older than my daughter, Elena. Danny was a neighborhood kid. He had a thug life tattooed on his hand at a very young age. He was straight up gangster kid in the street. And I just loved him to death. And he loved me. And he started coming around when he was 8 years old. And he had this very squeaky voice. And he used to come around all the time. And Danny boy, all through his life, his mother was like the trailer tramp. And he didn't have any clue who his father was. And I mean, none of us know, maybe there are, I don't know all your life stories, but I know I grew up pretty tough, and he far exceeded me. And he had a lot of baggage. And in 1996, when I went to prison, I got out in 97, in late 97, and I wanted to be this new person. So I started acting as I thought God would have me to act, like what I thought my pastor was. And Danny, he was what you call a pot stirrer. Danny was a trouble starter. Danny was a little turd, let me tell you. And Danny would say, hey, you know, the crazy thing is, Mikey, Travis, I was with Travis, and he said, you're a punk, man. I don't know why he said that, but he said that, man. He said, you're a punk. And then he'd go, man, you know, I heard Mikey said you're a punk. And he would do stuff like that all the time and get people into, I mean, real fights, and he'd love it. He'd sit back and watch the crap he would stir, and it would be great. And one day he did that with me and this other guy, Tony. He's a friend of mine, Tony. And he'd go, oh, yeah, Ryan, you know, he's like, he's all Jesus freak now, this, that, and the other thing. And I had him at the store, and I'd just gotten out of prison, and he just started this fight with me and this guy, Tony. And he came to my store one day, and he's big hugs, and hey, I miss you. And I says, look, bro, you know, the thing is, you know, I love you, man. You know, the way you, and he looked at me and he pushed me. And my back hit against the wall. He says, what happened to you? You used to be a man. Look at you now. Is this what following Jesus does? Makes you a, and he called me a gay slur, but it wasn't intended as a homosexual thing. It was just thing that, and he, as soon as he did that, I backed up and I was like, this realization, he's right. I have become not me. I'm trying to be something that I think somebody else is, and I don't even know that person. So I grabbed him and I picked him up and I slammed against the wall. Boom, his head is swollen. He said, listen, you little punk. I said, you start crap in my life again, and I'm gonna kick you from one side of the street to the other. And he looked at me and his tears ran out. That's my Ryan. And he gave me a big hug. And it was some years after that that he came to know the Lord as his Savior. And although he tried his hardest to walk with the Lord, and he brought a lot of his gangbang of friends to the Lord and to church, it was just a few years ago that I did his funeral. My Danny boy, I did his funeral over at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. And I think it's before we had, did we have the church? I think we were in the, we were still in the hotel at the time. And I have his picture up at my desk. I miss Danny terribly, but I can't wait to see him in heaven. But the point I was making is I was trying to have the Spirit rest upon me that was not the Spirit of the Lord, but that was the Spirit of something I didn't do. And then some years later, a friend of mine, J.C. Conti, he gives me a tape. He goes, dude, you got to listen to this guy. Back then, we had these things called cassettes, guys. Crazy. And cars, they had cassette players. And every once in a while, you'd pull a cassette player out, and all you'd see is a string going from your player. You'd be like, well, so much for that. And all of a sudden, this guy goes, on the tape, he goes, all right, men, turn in your Bibles. Understanding your woman. And I was like, whoa, this guy's got some voice. I thought he was a big black dude or something like that. I'm going to talk like him. Listen, have you listened to Joseph talk? Well, he's not here tonight, but listen to him talk deeper than his voice. And he's a big white dude, big burly redneck white dude from Maine, Bangor, Maine. And I started to study his stuff. And I had the blessed opportunity to meet him. And we immediately became friends. As a matter of fact, first time he came out of Florida, he brought his daughter. His daughter is just a year or two older than my daughter. She's a year older. And they became friends, and the four of us got to hang out. And I said, I am going to follow what this man does, because there's a freedom that he walks with, not worrying about what everybody thinks, what everybody says. Even though he was a very successful pastor, he was a successful pastor because he was who God made him to be, not who everybody thought he should be. And that freaked people out. So a lot of people, they didn't want him at their church. They didn't, when there were big conferences, even though he'd been a Calvary pastor for 20 plus years, they didn't want him. They were afraid of him. What are you afraid of? I don't know, but the guy freaks me out. Freaks a lot of people out. I said, that's what I want. And I could honestly say to you, after hanging out with him, the spirit of Ken Graves rests upon me as well. It was the ministry that God did through him that set me free to be who I can be and not worry about what everybody else. And I pray that for every single person in here, that you would experience that being who God's called you to be and not who people think you're supposed to be. There's a great blessing. And again, I'm sorry I'm going so long. We'll breeze through this now. Spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha, and they came to meet him and bowed down the ground before him. Verse 16, then they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, you shall not send anyone. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send them. So what happens is, he said, you know, I got 50 guys here. Let's go find Elijah. And Elisha was like, you ain't going to find Elijah no more. He goes, oh, come on. You don't know where he went. Because apparently, they didn't necessarily believe. Listen, I saw the guy went up in a chariot, fiery chariot, horses, this whole thing. Yeah, sure they did. I don't know if they thought, I'm telling you, Elisha killed him. He got sick and tired. He left him on a mountain somewhere. And it's so bad that they gave him this nonsense that he said, fine, you don't believe me? Go look for him. Go look for him. Yeah, we went to Bethel. We went to the Jordan. We went all those places. Go ahead, go look for him. Verse 17, but when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send them. Therefore, they sent 50 men. They searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back for him, they stayed in Jericho. He said to them, I told you so. I told you not to go, but you wouldn't listen to me. No, 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 don't listen to Elisha. And oh, there's so much lesson in there too to just let God give you the position and the authority, even though people, you know, and Austin has had to hear this, because Austin worked for me in the world, he worked for me in church. Oh, Austin thinks he's Ryan. You know, Austin thinks he's Ryan. Listen to me. I tell him, don't worry about that. God will give you all the position and the authority and the power that he wants in the fullness of his time. Don't worry. Don't worry. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of water, cast the salt in there, and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From there shall no more be death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word Elijah which he spoke. Now, you're going to see, as the next few chapters go, that indeed God answered the prayer of Elisha. Because in Scripture, 7 miracles are recorded, and there were big miracles that Elijah did. But you're going to see that Scripture records 14 miracles that Elisha did, but it's kind of an interesting thing because they're more of a personal one-on-one. So where Elijah was given this platform to reach kings, Elisha was more of a one-on-one. And there's a very important lesson in there too about letting God make you what you are. Don't look at Ken Graves has a giant church and he does, and oh, how I wanted to have that success for so long because I, in my mind, mistakenly thought success. But you know what? I'm more satisfied and more happy that I got the plan that God had for my life. And that's big. But he takes a bowl, and the spiritual aspect of this is, listen, when you're following somebody, this is to those that would be a Paul, those that would be an Elijah, new bowl, salt, pour that in their water. Not you, not your dumb life lessons, not your dumb testimony about something that you did when you were bad butt in the street. No, new bowl, fresh salt, pour it in their water. That's how you help people change. But I don't want to expound too much on that. We've been gone long enough. 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and he was going up the road. Some youths came. Guys, this is so funny. I know we've gone really deep, but you got to listen. This is such a crazy part of the story. You're like, what? What happened here? So then he went up there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came by the city and mocked him and said, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." Now, some would think that means that that Elisha was bald and he had these bunch of kids. Now, visualizing this, we're hearing it, you see a bunch of these kids around, and there goes Elijah with the mantle on him. Yo, baldy! This baldy, ha! That's not what happened, though. The word that he says there, that's employed there for youths, it occurs like four times in Scripture. One time it's a guy that's like 38, another time. It more can be like the old word brigand. Like a troublemaker, even a wayward guy. It says youth, but that's not really what it means. It means youth. You think there's a bunch of kids. And now why am I saying that? Just because of the next couple of verses, that's why. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. So he turned around, looked at them, pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Now, the word for mauled doesn't necessarily mean killed. Could also, you know, scratched one, got one. I don't know, could have killed a couple of them. I don't know how many kids were hanging around there. I don't know why, but I tell you what, don't make fun of bald people. I couldn't even come up with a spiritual message out of that. Don't screw with Elisha. You know what I mean? If you happen to see Elisha, don't mess with him because he's got this what's in Lord of the Rings, there was where's the guy's name? Rambagaster? The guy that had the animal thing happening? That's how he was like, "I pronounce a curse on thee in the name of the Lord," and the bears come out, "Cha!" Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Close your Bible. If you have questions about this story, I have no idea. Bear kills 42 people for calling him bald head. Guy gets taken up in a chariot of fire. Just, I told you. Now, am I lying? I always say it, but is this one of the weirdest stories you've ever read in Scripture or not? This is just strange. The Bible says that for now we see through a glass dimly, darkly. You know, right now, everything we read, it's like having two hands in front of it like this. And I don't know how many of you guys, like my night vision is gone. I'm 50 years old now, it's gone. If it's even a little dark, here I am, I can't read it. I can't see it. I can't read nothing. Even sitting up here now, it's like, man, I need glasses to read now. And that's what it is reading Scripture, guys. Sometimes it's just like this. Don't ever get discouraged or think, man, I don't understand it. Nobody understands it. But the Bible says when that which is perfect comes, then all will be known. We are going to make sense of this stuff. God is going to make sense of this stuff for us. Do you understand me? I can't wait for Christ to be my Bible teacher. I can't wait. Lord, what does that mean? Let's go into room 27 and look at that. You know what I mean? And we go into the room and he shows the actual video and you're just like, wow, I was totally wrong. Like, could you imagine Elisha and Elijah are up in heaven right now going, dude, you're screwing up my story bad. Wait till you get up to heaven. You think a bear is bad? Let's pray.
God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction of your word. Thank you, God, even for the entertainment of your word. It's just so much fun sometimes, God, to imagine being there. We ask you, please, Lord, for the message today that you brought to exist in our heart, God, to take from people fear and intrepidation and doubt, apprehension. God, now you would set appointments, God, for men and for women who could have somebody they can just pour their life into and somebody that can be poured into them. God, thank you so much for the story of Elijah, who was taken up in a chariot of fire, how we look forward to being raptured, how we look forward to putting an end to this constant strife for money, this constant strife for relationship, this constant battle of our health, our sickness and our disease, and the constant frustration of governments and nations that are going crazy. Truly, your word is coming to pass. Nations are raging. Wars and rumors of wars. So we cry out like Paul, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.